Okay, everyone, you know that feeling when you're like totally swamped with law school stuff? Like you're buried under case briefs and you have like a million pages to read and you just want to kind of like vent about it, you know? Like maybe you want to just like set up a quick message or something about all the pressure, you know? Or like if something didn't go your way, like you didn't get that internship you were hoping for or something. Well, turns out that's exactly the kind of thing that led to this really big Supreme Court case. Mahanwy versus BL. And that's what we're going to be like diving deep into today.
Yeah, this case, it's from 2021, but it's super relevant, especially for law students like you guys, because it really gets into the whole like free speech rights of students, like what they can say and what they can't say, especially when they're not actually at school, off campus, and especially online, because that's where a lot of this stuff happens these
Right,
days.
exactly. It's like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, exactly. Like when you're out there in the real world or the digital world, does the school still have like the power to tell you what you can and can't say? And in this case, Mahanwy, it really digs into that whole balancing act between like individual rights and what the school can actually do, their authority.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, that's something you guys are going to be dealing with all the time as you move into your legal careers, like figuring out where free speech ends and where like the power of schools or other institutions, you know, begins.
Absolutely.
So our goal today in this deep dive is to really like break down this whole Mahanwy ruling, figure out what it actually means, like get to the heart of it, and also why it matters for you guys, why you should care about this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it all without getting too bogged down in all the crazy legal jargon. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's start by setting the scene, okay? Like what actually happened here. So this whole thing, it started with a Snapchat post by this high school student named Brandy Levy. She's often referred to as BL in the case materials. And can you kind of paint a picture for us, like what was going on with her?
Yeah, so Brandy, she was a freshman in high school and she tried out for the varsity cheerleading squad, and she didn't make it.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, she was pretty frustrated, understandably so. And it was a Saturday. She was off school property, hanging out at a convenience store with a friend. And she posted this message on Snapchat, and it was pretty direct, let's just say that. She said, "Fuck school, fuck softball, fuck cheer, fuck everything."
Whoa.
Yeah. And she posted a photo of her and a friend like giving the middle finger.
Okay.
But here's the thing, and this is important. This Snapchat, it wasn't like public. It was sent to a private group of her friends on Snapchat.
Okay, so it wasn't like she was blasting this out to the entire school or
All
anything.
right.
It was meant to be like a private thing.
Exactly. But you know how it is online? Sometimes things don't always stay private, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
One of her friends who got the snap ended up sharing it with some other people.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
And eventually it made its way to the school officials, including one of the cheerleading coaches. And the school, they took it pretty seriously. They suspended Brandy from the junior varsity cheerleading team for a whole year.
A whole year.
Yeah, they said she violated team rules about conduct and respect and all that.
Wow, so that seems like a pretty extreme reaction for something that she posted off campus to like a small group of friends.
Yeah, it does seem pretty harsh.
And I'm guessing that's kind of where the whole legal battle started.
You got it, BL. And her parents, they weren't happy about this, so they decided to take the school district to court.
Okay.
They argued that this suspension, it was a violation of her First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. They said that what she said off campus shouldn't be something the school could punish her for.
That makes sense.
Right. So the case, it first went to the district court and they actually sided with BL.
Really?
Yeah, they said that her post didn't cause what they call a substantial disruption at school.
Okay, and that rings a bell. You know, from studying all those student speech cases, I immediately think of Tinker versus Des Moines.
Exactly. That's the big one, right? That's the case that sets the standard for when schools can actually limit student speech.
Right. So in Tinker, the court said that schools can like step in and regulate speech if it's going to cause a major disruption to the learning environment.
Right, a substantial disruption. Those are the key words.
Okay, so back to BL. The district court said no substantial disruption. So they sided with her, but I'm guessing the school didn't just give up there.
Oh no, they appealed the decision and it went up to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, and what did they say?
So the Third Circuit, they upheld the district court's decision.
Okay.
They agreed that BL's post didn't cause a substantial disruption, but they actually went even further than that.
Oh, really? How so?
They basically said that Tinker, that whole precedent about substantial disruption, it doesn't even apply to speech that happens entirely off campus.
Oh, wow. So they're drawing a pretty clear line there, like on-campus speech,
yeah,
different rules, off-campus speech, maybe different rules.
Exactly. And that's a really big deal because it raises this huge question, like, can schools really punish students for things they say or do when they're not at school, you know, in their own time?
Yeah, especially with social media and all that. It's like, how do you even separate those two worlds anymore?
Right.
So this is obviously a pretty significant issue, and I'm guessing that's why it ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you got it. The Supreme Court, they agreed to hear the case. This is what they call granting certiorari. And they wanted to address this really fundamental question: can public schools actually regulate student speech when it happens completely off campus?
Okay, so this is a big one. Huge implications for student free speech rights.
Yeah.
And the power of schools. And so everyone's watching, what's the Supreme Court going to do?
Right. And this is a landmark case, especially because of how social media has changed everything. You know, the lines between online life and school life, they're super blurry these days.
Absolutely. Okay, so the stage is set. What did the Supreme Court actually decide in this case?
All right, so the Supreme Court, they came out with an 8-1 decision.
Wow, 8-1, that's pretty decisive.
Yeah, and they sided with Brandy Levy. They affirmed the Third Circuit's ruling.
So the school was wrong to suspend her?
That's right. The suspension was a violation of her First Amendment rights.
Okay, and who wrote the majority opinion in this case?
So the majority opinion was written by Justice Stephen Breyer, and it's a pretty nuanced opinion. There's a lot to unpack there.
Okay, well, let's try to unpack it then for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the key parts of his reasoning? Like, what really stuck out to the court when they were making this decision?
So first of all, Justice Breyer, he acknowledged that, look, schools, they do have some legitimate interest in regulating certain types of off-campus speech. You know, it's not like anything goes.
He gave some specific examples, like if a student is bullying or harassing someone off campus, or if they're making threats, you know, directed at other students or teachers, or if they're doing something that could breach school security. Those are all things that the school might have a reason to get involved in.
Okay, that makes sense. So there are some limits.
Right. But in BL's case, he said there were three key factors that really limited the school's authority to discipline her for this Snapchat post.
Okay, so let's break those down one by one. What was the first factor that the court considered so important?
All right, so the first one was the off-campus location and the timing of her speech. You know, the fact that she made this post on a weekend when she was away from school at a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
Breyer basically said in these kinds of situations, you know, when a student's not at school, it's really the parent's primary responsibility to guide their behavior, not the school's.
Right. Like, the school's not supposed to be like a parent 24/7. Exactly. The court was really hesitant to give schools this broad power over what students do in their own time, you know, when they're not under the school's direct supervision.
Right. Like, think about it. Schools are there to educate students and keep them safe during school hours and on school property.
Right.
When a student's off campus, it's generally the parent's job to deal with their behavior.
Exactly. And some people were saying, you know, the school shouldn't try to be like substitute parents all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so that's the first factor. What about the second one? What else did the court say?
So the second factor was about the nature of the speech itself. You know, what she actually said.
Okay.
The court acknowledged that, yeah, okay, her language was crude. It was vulgar.
Definitely not the kind of language you'd want to hear in a classroom.
Right. But they pointed out that it wasn't legally obscene and it wasn't a direct threat to anyone's safety.
Okay.
And this is a really important point. They also said that the post didn't actually cause a significant disruption to school activities.
So there wasn't like a big protest or a fight or anything like that?
No, not really. There was some evidence that some students talked about the post, but it was like maybe 5 to 10 minutes of discussion in an algebra class over a couple of days.
Okay, so basically just like some gossip.
Pretty much. And the court said that's not enough to meet the substantial disruption standard from Tinker.
Right, like a few minutes of chatter in a classroom doesn't justify a year-long suspension.
Exactly. Even if the Tinker standard did apply to off-campus speech, which the Third Circuit said it didn't, the situation just didn't reach that level of disruption.
Okay, so the court's saying you can't just punish a student for any little thing that might cause a tiny bit of distraction.
Right. It has to be something much more serious than that.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the third factor? What was the last thing that the court brought up?
So the third factor was about this bigger concern about schools overreaching, you know, like going too far.
Okay.
Justice Breyer, he was worried that if schools had the power to regulate any off-campus speech like what Brandy did, it could really intrude on students' private lives.
Right. They'd be like constantly monitoring everything students say and do, even when they're not at school.
Exactly. And he was concerned that it could make students afraid to speak their minds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, what if they're afraid to even post anything online because they're worried the school might see it and get mad?
Right. And Breyer, he made this point that schools are supposed to be like nurseries of democracy.
Okay, I like that phrase.
He said that schools have to be tolerant of different opinions, even if they're unpopular or critical of the school itself, especially when those opinions are expressed outside of school.
That makes sense. You don't want to stifle free speech.
Right. And he pointed out that Brandy's speech, even though it wasn't very articulate, you know, it was basically her expressing her dissatisfaction with the school and the cheerleading program. And that's a form of expression that the First Amendment protects. You know, people are allowed to criticize institutions.
Right, even if it's with a few choice words.
Exactly. So to sum up, the majority opinion was really focused on those three things: the context of the speech, you know, where and when it happened, the fact that the content itself wasn't actually harmful or disruptive, and this broader concern about schools having too much power over students' private lives.
Okay, that makes sense, but it wasn't a unanimous decision, right? There were some other opinions as well.
Yeah, that's right. There are a couple of concurring and dissenting opinions that are worth mentioning.
Okay, so what did Justice Alito say in his concurrence?
So Justice Alito, he agreed with the court's decision, you know, that the school was wrong to suspend Brandy, but he brought up this really important point about how communication is changing, especially with social media.
Yeah, like things are way different now than they were back in the Tinker days.
Exactly. He said that even though Brandy's speech started off campus, its impact could easily spread to the school itself, you know?
Right, because word travels fast online.
Exactly. And he highlighted this trickier question of what happens when speech starts off campus, but then it's received and shared on campus, you know, like it goes viral.
Okay, so it's like that gray area where it's hard to say whether it's truly off-campus speech anymore.
Right. And he suggested that in those situations, schools might have a stronger argument for getting involved.
That's definitely something to think about, especially for you guys as future lawyers, because you might have to deal with cases like this where it's not so clear-cut.
Absolutely. It's one of the challenges of applying these old legal principles to this new world of online communication.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so that's Alito's perspective.
Yeah.
What about Justice Thomas? Did he have a different take on this?
Yeah. Justice Thomas, he actually dissented from the majority opinion.
Okay, so he disagreed with the other justices?
Yeah. He argued that the majority, they didn't really consider the historical context, you know, how schools have traditionally had authority over students' behavior, even off campus.
Okay, so he's coming at it from a more traditional perspective.
Right. He pointed to some historical examples that he said showed that schools could discipline students for stuff they did off campus if it had a direct impact on the school environment.
Okay, so he's saying that schools should be able to step in if a student's actions off campus are going to disrupt things at school.
Exactly. And he specifically said that he thought Brandy's speech could potentially undermine the cheerleading coach's authority and hurt the team's ability to work together.
Okay, so he's seeing it more as a threat to the order and discipline of the school environment.
Right. And he's also kind of coming from this idea that the school acts in the place of parents, you know, especially when students are minors.
Okay, so it's like a more traditional view of the school's role.
Right. So you can see there are different perspectives on this issue, even among the Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so stepping back a bit, why does this whole case matter so much for our listeners, you know, as future legal professionals?
This case is really important because it gives us some clearer guidelines about when schools can and can't regulate what students say and do off campus.
Oh.
It reinforces this idea that students, they don't lose their First Amendment rights just because they're not physically at school. And it means that schools can't just go around punishing students for every negative thing they might say about the school on social media or in private
Yeah, there
messaging.
can't be like Big Brother watching everything.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between protecting free speech and making sure that schools are safe and orderly places for learning.
Right. And the substantial disruption test from Tinker,
Yeah.
that's still really key here, right? Like
Absolutely.
in BL's case, her venting on Snapchat. Yeah, it was crude, but it didn't really cross that line of causing a major disruption, especially because it happened off campus.
Exactly. And it's important to keep in mind that this case, it distinguishes between just using vulgar language, which is what BL did, and other types of speech that schools have traditionally had more power to regulate.
Okay, so give me an example of that. Like, what kind of speech would a school have more authority to regulate?
So, for example, in Bethel School District versus Frazier, that was a case about a student who gave a speech at school that was full of sexual innuendo. And in Morse versus Frederick, that was the case about the bong hits for Jesus banner.
Right, that one's famous.
Yeah, in those cases, the speech happened at school or at school-sponsored event.
Right.
So the context was different. And the court said that schools have more leeway to restrict that kind of speech because it could be disruptive to the learning environment or damaging to the school's reputation.
Right, so the setting really matters.
It does, but as Justice Alito pointed out, you know, it's not always so simple with social media because things can spread so quickly.
Right.
So even if something starts off campus, it can easily end up on campus and cause problems there.
Yeah, and that's where those lines can get blurry.
Exactly.
Okay, so Mahana gives us some helpful guidelines, but it doesn't necessarily answer every question about where those lines are, you know?
Right. And that was intentional. The court, they didn't want to create a super rigid rule that would cover every single situation.
Right, they were dealing with the specifics of BL's case.
Exactly. And because of that, there are still some gray areas, you know, and there are going to be more cases in the future that try to figure out how to apply the First Amendment to this ever-changing digital world.
Right, so this is an area where the law is still developing.
It is. And it's something that you guys, as future lawyers, should be thinking about, you know, because
Yeah.
you might be the ones arguing these cases someday.
Absolutely. Okay, so to wrap things up, what's the main takeaway from Mia Hanway? Like, what's the one thing that our listeners should remember as they move forward?
The big takeaway is this Mahanoy. It strengthens First Amendment protections for student speech that happens off campus.
Sure.
Schools, they still have some authority to address certain kinds of off-campus speech, you know, if it's truly harmful or disruptive,
Right.
but their authority is much more limited than what they have for on-campus speech.
Right.
And the case really emphasizes how important context is, you know, where and when the speech happened.
Right.
And it also emphasizes that schools need to have clear evidence of actual substantial disruption before they can step in and punish a student.
Right. So just a few minutes of gossip in a classroom, it's not going to cut it.
Exactly.
Okay. So Mahanoy clarifies some things, but it also leaves us with some lingering questions, right?
Definitely doesn't give us all the answers, and that's part of what makes this area of law so interesting.
Right. So what are some of those unanswered questions that our listeners should be thinking about?
So one big question is, how should schools handle online speech that starts off campus, but then it has a really direct impact on what's happening at school?
Okay. Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. Like, what if there is a case of widespread cyberbullying that's happening off campus, but it's targeting specific students or teachers at the school?
Okay. Yeah, that's tough because it's off campus, but it's clearly affecting the school environment.
Exactly. And the question is, where do you draw the line there? You know, when does off-campus speech become something that the school can legitimately regulate?
Right. That's a tough one.
It is. And another big question is, how do we apply these First Amendment principles to this constantly evolving world of social media and online communication?
Right? Because technology is changing so fast that the law is always playing catch up.
Exactly. Like, how do we account for the fact that online content can spread like wildfire these days and potentially cause a lot of harm? Do schools have a responsibility to try to prevent that, even if the speech starts off campus?
Yeah, that's a really complex issue.
It is, and it's something that courts are going to have to keep grappling with.
Definitely. And these are the kinds of questions that you guys, as future lawyers, are going to have to think about too. You
Oh,
know, it's
absolutely.
all about balancing those competing interests, protecting individual freedoms, and also making sure that schools can function properly and provide a safe learning environment.
Exactly. It's a balancing act.
It is. All right. So as you continue on your law school journey, keep this case in mind. Mahanoy versus BL. It's a landmark case for student free speech rights in the digital age.
It is.
And it raises a lot of important questions that we're still trying to figure out. So keep thinking about these issues. You know, how the law is evolving to deal with this new world of online communication and how you might play a role in shaping that law in the future.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Mahanoy versus BL. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.